The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
Father, thank you that you have given us the privilege of being your ambassadors. How thankful we are for young missionaries in Madrid, Spain. But we're thankful, too, for the opportunity you give us every day to shine our light, to be true, to be genuine followers of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the new birth and a life that is brand new, a new creation. Thank you for giving us a life to live until you call us home. So, Lord, I just pray you'll bless these gifts. We give them today out of reverence. We do it as a part of our worship because it's important to us that we do this reverently. We do it cheerfully because we've decided in our heart what to give. There's no compulsion, no tax. No. This is done out of our free will. So thank you, Lord. And bless these gifts. Thank you for the generosity of God's people here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are in a series where we've been in John chapter 14. Another Advocate is the title of the series, and today we're looking in chapter 15, Abide in Jesus, the True Vine. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time obeying Jesus' command in John 14, 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. I got heart problems. As far as I know, my physical heart's okay. But I look around this world, this nation, and I have heart trouble. I'm disgusted by things done and said and riots and wars and all this. And Jesus said it. He said there would be wars and rumors of wars. He said there would be false prophets. He said all these things. And he gives us the remedy for heart trouble. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And by the way, that word troubled, he used to describe himself. We talked about this just recently, and it's a blessing to know that having trouble like this, feeling agitated and upset, isn't a sin. Jesus didn't sin, but he felt this. But I cry out, Lord, what's the remedy? Am I to go live in a monastery and just protect myself? No. Believe in God, believe also in me. That is the solution. Hallelujah. Personal faith in Jesus Christ changes everything. Helps us to endure. Helps us to gain understanding when I don't understand. Thank God I have a new celebrity to follow. Jelly Roll. Hallelujah. What a brave man to declare the gospel in a not-so-embracing place and just to simply say, Jesus is for everybody. I never put my hope in a politician. I hope you didn't. We put our hope and trust in Jesus Christ. And he is the one who makes all the difference. Let me remind you that this tower was built in Paris in 1889 for an international exposition. The population of Paris, when that was over, wanted it torn down. They thought it was one of the ugliest things they'd ever seen. And the man who built it, the architect, had to defend it and protect it. And you can still see it today. You might think it's pretty or ugly, that's up to you, but it's there. Jesus said, I will build my church. God, through his Son, our Savior, is building his church one person at a time, and this will not end. We get to be part of this, hallelujah. But it's happening. People put their trust in Jesus like Jelly Roll, and their lives are changed. I put my trust in Jesus, and my life was changed forever. So that's what we're about. in spite of Epstein files and all kinds of other things that are just disgusting, I can live for Jesus. I can walk with Him. That's what we've been learning about this glorious passage. There are many lessons we've learned along the way. Jesus promised that He would send another advocate like Him. What Jesus was doing while He was with the apostles now would be done by the Holy Spirit, who would not only be with us, but in us. And He promised forever. Wow. Wow. The living Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, living in us. And that should make a difference in our lives, right? Yeah, that's true. Sometimes we grieve Him. But remember, He's here to put the spotlight on Jesus. He's here to glorify Jesus. That's what it says in John 16:14. And He invites us, the Lord does, the Holy Spirit does, into a relationship with God. Remember, the phrase used was a dwelling place. The same phrase that's used to describe what it will be like in heaven is used for what we experience here. God is making His dwelling place in us. Listen, it won't be any different. Oh yeah, it'll be different. But it'll be the same. He's still dwelling in us. Paul gets so excited about it, he uses the phrase, in Christ. In Christ, 87 times, in Christ. Yeah. And that love chain that we saw. If you really love God, you'll keep His commands. And He'll love us and reveal new things to us. Amazing. Amazing. I read about a comedian, and this guy said something about his beliefs that I hope you've never said. No, I'm sure you've never said it. I have a lot of beliefs, he said, and I live by none of them. That's just the way I am. They're just my beliefs. I just like believing them. I like that part. But they're my little believies. They make me feel good about who I am, but if they get in the way of a thing I want, I sure as heck don't do what they tell me to do. Do not live like that. He gave us His commands and His word, and He tells us if we really love Him, we'll keep them. And what a blessed privilege it is. He promised that, you know, the Holy Spirit would teach us truth and remind us of truth. And this is an ongoing work. Last week, we talked about the resurrection and how the resurrection plays into this and how our Lord Jesus has defeated Satan. He's only the prince of this world anyway. He is completely defeated. And we need to live like that. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. He's already won the victory. He's already overcome this world and all the chaos and hardships and sadness. Dear Pastor Jeff, our student ministry, Gen X pastor, I know he's got six titles, I'm not sure. But kind of like me, you know, I'm not the senior pastor anymore. I don't want to be called senior. I'm the lead pastor. Oh, okay. I got white hair, but who cares? Anyway, Jeff has been telling our students, this is so beautiful. Those who love Jesus the most love others the best. Those who love Jesus the most love others the best. Maybe we all go to the youth meeting. I don't know. But isn't that a blessing? Do you know that a group of our students are going to go to Ireland to share the love of Jesus this summer? Isn't that beautiful? They do it here too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we come to chapter 15, and now we're out of the upper room. We're now walking towards the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus sees an object lesson, and He uses it to illustrate great truth. That's not for us for salvation so much as how we walk with Jesus, how we live with Jesus, how He sanctifies us day by day. I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You must remain in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Amen. Amen. Now, let's look at the cast of characters. Jesus is the true vine. Vines are mentioned 9 times in the New Testament. He is the true vine. You see it? He's the true light that enlightens everybody. He's the true bread from heaven. He is 100% authentic, real, and trustworthy. There's nothing counterfeit about him. There's nothing hypocritical about him. He is the true vine. And he lived a 100% righteous life. He fulfilled the law by doing the will of his Father. Unlike Israel. You can look it up this afternoon, Isaiah 5. God describes Israel as a vine that he planted, but they rebelled. I've been reading in Exodus recently, God's evaluation of the children of Israel, they're just a bunch of stiff-necked people. Wow. But I got a stiff neck too. I need help. I need a Savior. And so he is the true vine. The branches are his disciples. And as I mentioned before, Paul uses this phrase in Christ many, many, many times, 87 times, in Christ, just like a branch in the vine. You see, it's not an organizational relationship, it's organic. There's life in him and life in us, and he's giving us life as his branches. He's imparting life into us. Now, imagine, I've been reading a book, rereading a book, called Absolute Surrender. It's by a South African man by the name of Andrew Murray. And in this book, he sort of takes a moment to say, what would happen if we interviewed one of these branches? Okay, just suppose we're interviewing a branch. Come, branch of the vine, I want to learn from you. How I can be a true branch in the living vine? What would the branch answer? The little branch would whisper. Man, I hear that you are wise. I know that you can do a great many wonderful things. I know you have much strength and wisdom given to you, but I have one lesson for you. With all your hurry and effort in Christ's work, you never prosper. The first thing you need to come and rest in your Lord Jesus. That is what I do. Since I grew out of the vine, I have spent years and years, and all I have done is just to rest in the vine. When the time of spring came, I had no anxious thoughts or cares. The little vine, the true vine, began to pour its sap into me and to give the bud and the leaf. And when the time of summer came, I had no care. And in the great heat, I trusted the vine to bring moisture to keep me fresh. And in the time of harvest, when the owner came to pluck the grapes, I had no care. If there was anything in the grapes not good, the owner never blamed the branch. The blame was always on the vine. And if you would be a true branch of Christ, the living vine, just rest in him. Let Christ bear the responsibility. You say, won't that make me slothful? Lazy? No. One who learns to rest upon the living Christ cannot become slothful, for the closer you connect with Christ, the more the spirit of his zeal and love will be born in you. That's the secret. Abide in the vine. Your branch, hallelujah. Be content and rest in him. Let his sap of love and power and wisdom and everything flow in you, change you, and then share it with others. Connect with Christ, connect in community, connect to the culture. What are we supposed to do in perilous times? We're to be Christ-like ambassadors. How are we going to do that? By abiding in him. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, I know. The Father is the gardener. Now, there are different translations of this. Some call him the husbandman, the vine dresser. One theologian I like calls him the cultivator. I think that's a good picture. There are many roots in soil in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Ezekiel. You know, here in the Psalm, it says, you transplanted a vine from Egypt. Remember, they came out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it in the promised land. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. So there are many times the vine is used as a picture of Israel, but here the Lord is calling us as his church, as his body, not a building, not an organization, but an organism, the people. And we're the branches in the vine, and the Father is the cultivator. Now that suggests that he owns the vine, and he owns the branches, and he will sustain it for his glory. He's also the leader. And so we've already seen this. Jesus set an example by submitting both to the Father and the Spirit. And how are we to live? Just like that. Just like that. Now he's much more than a model to us because he's our Savior. But he did show us how to live on the earth, even in perilous times. Now, you don't see the Holy Spirit mentioned, but he's all over that passage. He had already introduced it in chapter 14. He'll bring in the subject back. And how are we going to love others as Jesus loved us? By the power of the Holy Spirit. The picture is vine, branches, and the gardener. Now, what are the actions? Well, the goal is very simple, to bear fruit. That's the goal. We're to bear fruit by abiding in the vine. We're to bear much fruit, verse 5. We're to bear fruit for his glory, verse 8. We're to bear fruit that will last, verse 16. So bearing fruit is what it's all about. And so naturally we start thinking about like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. That there are dynamic virtues that are growing in us or should be seen in us. None of us have arrived. None of us are fully mature. But we got to be careful because you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. So we are given opportunities. We bear fruit by sharing the good news like Jelly Roll did. And God persuades others by the power of his Holy Spirit and they receive the new birth. They are reborn. That's fruit. We praise God. That's a fruit in Hebrews. Did you know you were bearing fruit when you were singing today? I hope you were singing. I had family visit and they said, boy, that Ed, he really wants you to sing, doesn't he? I go, yeah, he does. This is not spectator sport here. We're not here to see a performance. We're here to see Jesus and to bear fruit. And Jesus said it pretty clearly in the Sermon on the Mount, by their fruits you shall know them. So again, that's important for us. Now, what about this process? Well, it's an ongoing present reality. And we can resist it or we can, you know, cooperate. And that's what Murray was trying to tell us when he was interviewing the branch. We should rest in the vine. That's important for us. So some branches are lifted and cleansed. This is how I interpret what is said. He cuts off, I think it's better translated, lifts up every branch in me that bears no fruit. Branches were lifted. The verb is used for the apostles lifting up baskets of leftovers after the miracles of the feedings. And I think lifting is a better translation. It is used of Simon lifting the cross of Jesus. So I don't think it really means to cut off. I think it means to lift up. And you can see this in a vine very easily. Branches that are not bearing fruit are running along the ground. They're getting dirty. They're yellowing. They're not experiencing photosynthesis. So the wise vine dresser or cultivator lifts them up, cleanses them, puts them higher, nearer to the sun, so they can again become fruitful. Sin and things can impede our fruitfulness. And God is faithful. If we confess our sins, what does He do? He forgives us of our sins and cleanses us of all unrighteousness. He says in the next verse that you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So this is a process, a possibility to keep our relationship fresh so that we can indeed bear fruit. Now, sometimes we run into sins that entangle us, as Hebrews 12 tells us, and that's why we confess. And so if you feel a season of, I'm not bearing fruit so much, perhaps cleansing is what is necessary. Lifting up to be cleansed. He also prunes. Every branch that does bear fruit, this is fruit-bearing branches, he prunes so that they'll be even more fruitful. He prunes them. This is a different word, and it does mean to cleanse. Here's a warning. Remember, I'm your lead pastor, not your senior pastor. Older branches tend to produce leaves and not fruit in horticulture. But it happens to us too. We get so used to the pattern, I'm just satisfied. Isn't my leaf pretty? No, that's not the purpose here. Don't I look good? Nah. You're here to bear fruit. So he prunes. Have you been pruned? Don't raise your hand. It's all right. I don't want you to be embarrassed. But every one of us, I raise my hand high, I've been pruned. There have been things that needed to be removed that Jesus told me about. And I'm thankful for his pruning. In Hebrews, the writer speaks of it in a different language of being disciplined. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. When things just get tough, receive it as though God was disciplining you, because he always disciplines us in love. He wants us to mature. He wants us to bear fruit. God is treating you as children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Well, we see a lot of that today. But again, the child-rearing process involves pruning. We want the sap to flow. So if something isn't helping me to grow to be more like Jesus, I'm better without it. Wow, that's kind of tough because it's painful. But it's so worth it. We're here to bear fruit. We're here to abide in the vine and bear fruit. And anything that's impeding that needs to be pruned. And every branch, of course, must remain in the vine. If we're going to bear fruit at all, we have to remain in the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you abide or remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When the British preacher Charles Spurgeon established a school for preachers, I just saw the other day where it still exists, but it's on a respirator. They're appealing for funds to keep that school open. But at the front of the chapel, he put that verse, apart from me, you can do nothing. So that every preacher studying there would realize, you must remain in the vine. That's the only way you're going to bear fruit. And what was true for them in that year is true for us today. And if you remain in the vine, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. He will answer your prayers. I think the study of the Word of God has improved my prayer list. There have been some things I realized. I was only praying for my comfort, not for His glory. Now, sometimes He's glorified in my comfort. Sometimes He's glorified in my affliction. And when the Word is in my life, it helps me pray better. And when I see answers to prayer, it builds my faith. Right? I mean, that's the beauty of that, right? And this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We don't want to be branches that are just thrown away and burned. No, no, no. We want to be branches that are bearing fruit. Remember, you reap what you sow. Sow well. Stay in the vine. So, I'm going to give you a little preview of where we're going to be in the future. And this is from today. We just mentioned it. Prayer. Prayer is key to abiding and remaining in the vine. But so is love. Oh, we're going to get to that next week. Oh, we're going to talk about love again? Oh, yeah. Obedient love, right? Inspired by the Holy Spirit, that where love is growing, our keeping of the commands in the Word is growing. Love for one another. Oh, we're going to get to that? Oh, yeah. That's a part of it, too. And how about this? Receiving more truth. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. That word friend is related to a verb for love, too. For everything I have learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Now, the key in that verse is not that you call Jesus your friend, that He calls you His friend. Now, we'll talk about that, but that's very significant. Very, very significant. So, how do you maintain this? How do you keep abiding? Well, Mary has some advice, and I appreciated what Mary said, so I'm going to give it to you. He says absolute dependence. The branch has nothing, must depend fully on the vine. He fulfilled this by sending the Holy Spirit into our lives. I quote him, "If I am something, then God is not everything. But when I become nothing, God can become all, and the everlasting God in Christ can reveal Himself fully in me and through me." Deep restfulness. No branch says, gotta bear fruit now. We already interviewed the branch. We know what branches think. They rest in Christ and His wisdom. We need to take our lives seriously, but we need to rest in Christ. Much fruitfulness. He who will watch over the connection between Christ and the branches is God Himself, and it is in the power of God through Christ that we bear fruit. So says Mary. Close communion. Abide every minute of every day. Close fellowship with Christ by secret praying. I hope you have some praying you do that only Jesus knows about. You've got some secrets with Jesus. Isn't it amazing? When you go in secret and He answers. Yeah. An absolute surrender. It's a very solemn word. Mary says, "My relationship is just this. I am utterly given up to the vine, and the vine can give me as much or as little sap as He chooses. Here I am at His disposal, and the vine can do with me what He likes." We find the Christian life so difficult, he writes, because we seek God's blessing while we live in our own will. So have His will as your priority, and not your own. This man is not famous. He is an ordinary guy in every way. He is raised with almost no education, but he knew the Wesleys and he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And I love this quote. "Oh, the blessedness arising from a conscious union with the Son of God." That really sums up what we're trying to say today. Blessedness from a conscious union with the Son of God. And so this is the way Mary closes his book. Jesus says to us, "I, the living one, who have so completely given myself to you, am the vine. You cannot trust me too much. I am the Almighty Worker, full of a divine life and power. And our response, Jesus is my vine and I am his branch. I want nothing more. Now I have the everlasting vine. You are my vine and I am your branch. It is enough. My soul is satisfied. Dear Lord, we bow before you in perilous times. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to keep abiding in you. Thank you, O Lord, that the Spirit is here to help us, living in us.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.